Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The Volume.
All right, the NBA season is in full swing. Coming down the stretch, then we move right into the playoffs in April, May, and June. I can't wait. Spice things up with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA right now. All you have to do is put down $5. And get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Pretty good trade-off. I pay $5, I get $150. North Carolina listeners, do not forget. Welcome to the party. DraftKings Sportsbook now live in your state, North Carolina. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Takes 90 seconds. The code is Colin, C-O-L-I-N. Again, 90 seconds. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Put in Colin. New customers bet $5, get $150 back in bonus bets. Instantly. That is the trade. All right. The code is always Colin. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. As we said to y'all last show, a couple shows ago, we will be doing some playoff recaps, giving you some thoughts, some different things to watch during the games within the game. Last night, doubleheader. Knicks and 76ers, Lakers, Nuggets. We will go into those two games. We also have to talk about the Celtics losing to the Heat because I'm not someone that's going to overreact to one game. I know how this goes. You go through a playoff series and stuff happens throughout the playoff series. I saw Joe Mazzulla made a comment about that. Like, if you think you're just going to go through a playoff series with no bumps in the road, you're crazy. I happened to play on a team that was 16-1 in the playoffs, and the game that we lost was actually for win 16. Now, throughout that, yeah, you get some tough games. If I'm not mistaken, we was down by like 15 points in almost every game in the Portland that series, and a lot like the Denver Nuggets is doing to the Lakers. You just kind of sit there like, all right, cool, like, here we go, walk them down. Happened in the Houston series. You just stay poised and walk them down. And so, interestingly enough, we will get into that Boston-Miami loss series because it is a series. Because as we spoke about, one of the road teams won a game, and that was Miami. So we'll get into that. But first, let's get into the Nuggets versus Lakers. Nuggets are ahead 3-0. The Nuggets should not be ahead 3-0. The Nuggets are ahead 3-0. And when the better team is ahead 3-0, and they shouldn't be ahead 3-0, that's a problem. because that means that you lost a game that you should have or could have won, and you're already kind of outmatched anyway. Like, I don't think any of us do not think that Denver's a better team than the Lakers. However, I think all of us thought anytime when you have LeBron James on the floor, you know, they have an outside chance. And they had that chance, and in game one, had a lead, and it evaporated fast, and the game got out of hand. In game two, had a lead even longer, up 20 points most of the third quarter until the lead started to go away as a whole. Most of the third quarter was up 20 points. And then you lose that game. And that was the gut punch. Like, you game one, you're there, you're ahead, first half, going to the half with the lead because they've done that all three games. And you lose that game. All right, cool, fellas, you know what? Listen, we on the road. We know what we came here to do. The goal is to come here and win one game. Not necessarily win two. Would be nice to win two. Probably not going to win two against a team like Denver out on their home court. But you know what? We came here to win one. We can still do that. So you hold on to hope. Like, you hold on to it, and you go into game two feeling good. And because Denver mopped the Lakers in game one after all, I think they end up winning that game by 15-plus points or something of that nature. You know, you come in like, all right, like, we're pissed off now because we got mopped a little bit game one. We got to come back and redeem ourselves. And so the Lakers are feeling good coming into game two. Like, you know what? If we stop that run or this run, we good because we play. And so you got something to hold on to. Then you come into game two and you get up 20 points. And when you're up 20 points and you look over at the other team and they're just like, all right, here we go. And they're not fazed at all. They're not bickering at each other at all. They're not doing anything outside of, all right, fellas, let's go. All right, one play at a time, like talking to each other like no problem. And you see them being unfazed by that lead. And then you see the lead start to go. And then you look up and you lose a game in which you were up 20 points, 101-99. And that, my friend, on a Jamal Murray step back going right, when he struggled most of the game, got it going down the stretch, and you lose that game on a buzzer beater, that is the gut punch. And so the Lakers, deflated going back home. Gotta be deflated because one game, and for sure you should have won, where you were 96.5% favorite. I mean, at one point in the game, there was a 96.5% chance that you would win that game, and you lose that. So now you go home 0-2 against a team that you now lost to 10 times in a row, including 4 times in the playoffs. And that's almost impossible to come back from. But nonetheless, they do have LeBron James, who's seen everything and been through everything. And Anthony Davis, who's a top 75 player in NBA history. So, you know, you like they can rally because they've seen it. And they do rally. They come out, they take the lead, feeling good. Go into halftime again with the lead. However, you go into halftime up 4. And everybody on the Lakers team, everybody in the Lakers organization is looking at each other like, this is it. Because it's like a boxing match. A lot like one we've seen this past weekend, Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, where Devin Haney caught Ryan Garcia with a couple shots. And in that moment, the fight ended because Ryan Garcia knew at that point, and possibly even before the fight, when you look at all of the things leading up to the fight, that If Devin Haney gave me his best shot, it couldn't hurt me. Can't hurt me. So from that point on, when Ryan was serious and locked in, he was just pressing forward. He was on the gas. He's moving forward the rest of the fight. Why? Because even if you catch me with your best shot, you can't hurt me. Like if you absolutely catch me with your best shot, you can't hurt me. How do I know that? Because you already did. And I ate it. And that's what the Denver Nuggets are and the Los Angeles Lakers are going through right now with the Denver Nuggets, which is you've given us your best shot and it can't hurt us. So when you give us your best shot, because you're a team with pride, because you're a team with champions on there, because you're a team with all-stars, superstars, all top 75 NBA players in history, arguably the greatest player in NBA history, because of that, and all of those factors, you still hold out some level of respect, hold on to some ounce of respect, but ultimately knowing we can press forward because their best shot can't take us out. They go up 20, be up 20 in the midway through the third quarter. Their best shot can't beat us. So from that point on, we see no competition. And that's where Denver's at with the Nuggets. And so needless to say, this series is over. Will it end in four? It should. I do not doubt that Denver would end the series in four. But if they do not end it in four, it's for damn sure over in five. because you got Joker last night, 24, 15, and 9. And in game two, he had 29, 20, and 11 assists or 12 assists or something of that nature. And I must say, I was very disappointed in AD's statement after the game. When AD came out after game two and said, sometimes we don't know what we're doing on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side of the ball. I was disappointed in that. And the reason I was disappointed in that, got a lot of love and respect for AD. Lot of love and respect. Go back to being drafted together, both being clutch athletes. I'm always telling it like it is, telling how I see it. And I was just a little disappointed in that statement. Number one, Darvin Ham was a player. Darvin Ham is a black man. And to just throw him under the bus like that, I didn't appreciate it. I didn't respect it. I could be a little biased because Darvin Ham is my OG, Saginaw, Michigan. So I could be a little biased. But in this case, even being a little biased, I got love for both of those guys. So it ain't even about being biased towards one side or not. Because I got nothing but love for both of them, both parties involved. But the problem I have with the statement is like, did you not know what you were doing up 20? Midway through the third quarter. And then did Darvin Ham come into the huddle and say, all right, guys, we're up 20 points. Let's change the game plan now, right? Like let's change it to away from this thing that's got us up 20 points and let's go here, do this. And which has not been proven that it's going to work because what we were doing was working. It got us up 20 points. Also, we had a lead in the first game. They kind of switched their defensive game plan between those two games, games one and two. But if Darvin Ham didn't come in the huddle and say, all right, guys, we're completely changing what we're doing on both sides of the ball, how all of a sudden do you not know what you're doing on both sides of the floor? Because that same game plan did get you a 20-point lead. And so I was a little upset with AD because as players who's been in these situations, who's won championships, like, yes, at some point throughout the game, while up 20, Mike Malone could make an adjustment, which would require, at some point, the Lakers to make an adjustment. However, from being up 20 points halfway through the third quarter and the end of the fourth quarter, the adjustment that they make shouldn't cover 20 points. Not when you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Because even if Darvin Ham don't make an adjustment to their adjustment for those last 18 minutes, what I will say is sometimes coaches do struggle to make adjustments in during the game in these playoff series. They go back to the film, they watch it, and they're locked in. There's been times throughout the course of our playoff run where we're in a game and at some point throughout the game it starts going wrong. And maybe Steve doesn't make the adjustment right in that game to like dice up whatever change it is that they did. Maybe he don't make it in that game. One thing's for certain, when we come back to that next game, the adjustments that Steve is going to have is going to be out of this world. We're going to dice up whatever that thing is that they started doing. And then it's a game of adjustments, right? And so sometimes your coaches don't necessarily make the adjustment right there in that particular game. But with Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the court, I don't really care if they make the adjustment or not, because those two guys are good enough with a 20-point lead to get you home. They are. Even if that's LeBron, like, you know what? We're getting to this every time. So I didn't really have a strong appreciation for AD saying that. I think AD is one of the more respected guys in this league, from how he carries himself to being at that level of play for this long, in year 12 now. Like all of those things. And I think we all say some things that we could wish we could take back at times. And I don't doubt that AD, looking back at that, wish he could take that back. And I know the type of guy that AD is. I know AD stand on business, you know, raised by his father, grown man, great man, stand on business. I personally believe AD would want to take that one back. And I know everybody jumped on him like, oh, this, that, and the other, and AD. I'm going to give AD the benefit of the doubt here. I too, didn't love the statement. It's an emotional game. Nobody really ever wants to take the emotions into it. Everybody want to act like we're robots and we don't have emotions and we don't sometimes get beside ourselves. And so, felt for Darvin Ham in this situation. Not totally holding it over AD head. Like, oh man, he's a quitter. Like, yeah, he blamed somebody and he shouldn't. I never really want to put the blame on anybody else. Even if it wasn't my fault, I am more along the side of, if I go in this press conference, I'll take the fall. I'll take the hit and we'll figure it out. So I try to steer along that side. Like I said, it gets away from us all at times. Very emotional game. Lose game two when you know you should have won game two. And now you're going home. Know it's an uphill battle from there. Emotions running high. Want to win. Lost to this team 10 straight. So I'm giving AD the benefit of the doubt. That was an out of character moment. And we all have them. That's not going to determine what I think on AD. Who Anthony Davis is. Doesn't change his legacy. All of that garbage talk. We not on that. But I will give you something. I haven't checked this stat in 2 years. I am pretty sure it is not far off from what it was. 2 years ago when we played Denver in the playoffs and we beat them, I think it was the first round, possibly second round, whatever it was. There was a stat that we kept. And we looked at that stat every single game, and I'm pretty sure every time it was true. Which was, if Joker had 6 assists or less, they lost, call it 40%. They won 40% of the time. Call it something like that. 2 years ago, I'm not going to have the exact numbers. If Joker had 6 assists or more, they won like 83% of their game. So we're going into that series like, yo, you need to do this on defense. You need to do that to not give up this back cut, to not give up that cut, to not give up the late pass for the layup, all of these things. It's the game plan. And sure enough, you can go right to Joker's assist pretty much the whole series and say, oh, we lost that game or we won it. And yes, it wasn't exactly accurate. But the moral of the story is, in that game that we were just speaking of in game two, Joker had 10 assists, 11 assists, 12 assists. Last night, he had 9. In game one, pretty sure he had more than 6 assists. So look no further than Joker getting everybody else involved. Don't look at Joker's points. For instance, last night, he had 24, pretty much had less than 20 most of the game. Scored a few buckets down the stretch late. No problem. The other night, he had 29. No problem. Look no further than the assist, though. You go look there, and you can see because everybody else gets involved. And if he's scoring, he's going to score. So if he's getting everybody else involved and scoring and rebounding, it's a problem. It is a problem. Now, what I will say is in this series, you can definitely see the flaw in the Denver Nuggets as opposed to what they had last year. That is their bench. Bench not great. I've always said championships are won 6 through 10, 6 through 11. They're not won 1 through 5. And Denver, as they show you and as we know, their 1 through 5 is great. Incredible. 6 through 10 still need some growth.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
And so if there is something where you can pry on them, it's not necessarily that you're going to get four or five bench guys in at a time at this point in the season. It's not going to happen. But when they start plugging away and taking certain guys out, you got to be ready to go. And if you're the opposing coach, your lineups should be as such. You now know the combinations that they are playing. When they play this combination, we know we can pounce on that combination with this lineup. And we're going to this lineup to take total advantage of that group while Joker not on the floor, while Jamal not on the floor, whoever it is, we know we can take advantage of this group in this way. And that's what you have to do against a team like that, because they don't have many weaknesses, but the one weakness they have is their benching. You need to exploit that. Now, I saw Reggie Jackson banged up. Not sure where that's going, but that's, I mean, I don't think Reggie Jackson at this point in his career is near as good as Bruce Brown was for them last year, so it's already a drop-off. And if you then lose Reggie, that's an even bigger drop-off. You have to be ready to pounce on those lineups. Have to. Love Peyton Watson, love the growth. You got to be able to pounce on the lineup when he's in, when Christian Braun is in, when DJ is in, because it's just not as strong as the lineup when they're not in. So you got to find weaknesses. No disrespect to those guys, but you got to find the weakness in these series. And right now, the only weakness that Denver has, it looks like, is their bench. So how do you take advantage of that? And I think that's what the Lakers got to figure out. We talked about D'Lo before. I thought it would be very important how KCP came out and started this game. I thought in game two, they were picking on KCP, which was shocking to me. You know, they hit a couple shots on him, and then all of a sudden, it looked like everybody was like trying to get the switch on KCP. KCP is a great defender, and KCP screwed up the beginning of game two. He gambled for a pass, and D'Angelo Russell caught it. Nobody in front of him walked into a three, which then led to D'Angelo having a night. Nuggets had to overcome that night. Guess what? They should have won that game. I told you, D'Lo play well, they can win. D'Lo don't play well, no chance. 0 points last night, 0-7 from the field, 0-6 from three. A little disappointing in D'Lo not being a part of the huddle. Again, I'm on this theme of, as athletes, man, we can always look to blame somebody. Never look no further than yourself. Never look no further than yourself. Darvin Ham ain't go 0-6. LeBron James ain't go 0-7. So, from the field. So, look no further than yourself, man. You got to look in the mirror in these situations. Champions look in the mirror. Non-champions look elsewhere. D'Lo got to play better. It's just that simple. To me, after seeing that last night, I personally think probably checked out. At this point, it's unfortunate to see after the season, the second half of the season that D'Lo had, it's unfortunate to see this. Not that he's playing bad, but because, you know, you see the body language now, you see the comments now, and it's like you kind of got over that hurdle through the trade deadline stuff, you know? So when you come into these playoff series, yeah, you may not have a game one or a great game three, but it's a seven-game series. So if you stay locked in, you get more opportunities to have those games that you want to have. When you let go of the rope, it's a tough one. And right now, it looked like the rope has been let go. I don't think it's impossible to grab the rope again. I do think it's impossible for them to win this series. But I don't think it's impossible to grab the rope. But right now, to me, kind of looks like the rope has been let go. Unfortunate. Sucks. Absolutely sucks. But as I told you before, D'Lo must play well in order for that team to win. And right now, they're not getting that. I also want to mention, before we get off this game and move on to the next one, Aaron Gordon's play. Told you all before, the respect that I gained for Aaron Gordon and watching him in the series against us in 2022 and the player he has grown into since then, my respect level shot through the roof because that's a guy that took failure in a series and grew. And said, that'll never happen to me again. And it has not. 29 points, 15 rebounds on the road. Road players don't play great on the road. Let me tell you that. Road players don't play great on the road. You can book it. Not this time. Aaron Gordon stepped up. 29 and 15 on the road in the game where you were down 20. I'm sorry, they weren't down 20 in game three. But in the game where you were down, everything going against y'all, and you come out with 29 and 15, man, much respect to Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon has found his niche, has found his role. He don't overdo it. He's played next to Joker and Jamal Murray, and he getting the scraps. And guess what? You're going to win a championship. You better have somebody that's getting the scraps. And Aaron Gordon is doing that. And Aaron Gordon, the floor spacing that Aaron Gordon creates being in the dunker, I told y'all, is no different than the spacing that you get with Klay Thompson on the wing. Because if you step up, that lob is there, and they're going to complete that 90% of the time. So you can't step up and leave his body. Well, guess what? You got Joker floater. You got somebody trying to pinch in because you can't step up. Joker kicking out. It's tough. So what Aaron Gordon does for their spacing, forget the 29 and 15. I know everybody going to see that. And then if he have eight next game, be like, oh, my God, I told you he couldn't do it again. No. Forget that. What he does for the spacing of the Denver Nuggets, it's like what a shooter does on the wing when he's in that dunker. Can't help. So brings us to the question of, will LeBron James ever win a championship again? I've been seeing people like, oh, LeBron, Steph, and KD, they'll never win a championship again. It's 10 rings and that's it. Blah, blah, blah. Number one, 10 rings is a lot. Let's stop talking like that ain't a lot. It's crazy. Even amongst three guys, that's a lot. That, if you took the average of that, gives you 3.33 rings per guy. That is still 3.33 rings more than 87% of the people that played in the NBA in the history. So stop. Will LeBron James ever win a championship? With this current Lakers team, I don't think so. I think it's going to be tough. Can LeBron James win a championship at the level that he's playing at? Absolutely. But I think some things have to be retooled and figured out. And not with this current team, I don't think it's possible. But I don't think it's impossible for LeBron to win another championship. And moving on, we are going to move on to the 76ers versus the Knicks. Because that is an interesting series that I told you all, I think Philly should win this series and the reasons why. And they too gave up a game two on the road. Gift wrap. Take your wrapping paper. Put your bow on top, pass it on to the New York Knicks. That's what they did. To be up 5 points with 46 seconds to go and lose that game is unheard of. Did Maxey get fouled? Absolutely. However, once Maxey got fouled, they all stopped playing. And the Knicks kept playing. And Dante got two for a dollar, and he knocked the second one down. If you are the 76ers, you can't lose that game. Because, again, the goal is to go on the road and get one. You got the one. You got it. And to let that game slip away, it's an uphill battle from there. But I still think Philly can win. And I love Joel saying after the game, it's cool. We the better team. We going to win. I would like Joel to pick his head up when he's saying that. Look at the camera. Don't show no weakness. I would like him to do that. Nonetheless, I believe him. the reason I believe him is because, as I told you all before that series, that's where you'll miss Julius Randle. That's where you'll miss having that other All-Stars against a team like the 76ers. You just get to the playoffs and you miss that second All-Star, and which allows them to focus more on Jalen Brunson. And Jalen Brunson had not had a game in the series first two games. He had a game last night, although I personally think him having a game like last night is actually more detrimental to the team than helpful because he was so ball dominant. Yes, he finished with 39 points. Yes, he finished with 12 or 13 assists. But he was ball dominant. And to dominate the ball in that, in these series, you better be James Harden. You better be Luka Doncic. And even then, it get hard. And so I just didn't think with him dominating the ball the way he did, they actually really got into a huge flow offensively outside of them getting stuff off him. And as I told you all with the Bucks series, it's a reason they start putting wings and guys with length on these guards that can score. They too tricky, man. They too good with the ball. They getting to their spots. They raising up. And the defense, you're not allowed to just hit a guy with those playoffs, and you are able to bump and get a little more physical. You can't hand check and all those things. So now you got these quick guards that's great at creating shots. What you need is someone with length to affect those shots late or be able to affect those shots without hand checks. So allow you to stay in front of them because you can use a lane. Well, they got somebody with length guarding Jalen Brunson at all times. Kelly Oubre, Nick Batum. I think they're going to keep making it tough on Jalen Brunson. Now, again, you can go a heavy dose of Jalen Brunson and he dominate the ball like he did last game, but I don't think that's ultimately what's going to be successful for their team. I think what's going to be successful is getting a Dante 20 points, Josh Hart coming up with 20 points, Bogdanovich coming up with 13, 14 points, I think they're going to need to get other guys points in order for them to win. And with Jalen Brunson with 39 and 13, that's just too much, too high of a usage rate, I think, for them to be able to win this series playing that way. So it'll be interesting to see what it comes down to. Joel had to go for 50. You know, if I'm the New York Knicks, I'm probably going to my locker room like, look, he had to go for 50 for them to beat us. Is he going to go for 53 more times to beat us? The New York Knicks could also go in feeling that way. But I'm just telling you, that could be a little fool's goal. He could not go for 50 and go for 39 and Maxi go for, like, that could be a little fool's goal if you take that approach. I think you have to be willing to get other guys off. And it can't just be about Jalen all of a sudden having a better game. If you're winning, that's all that matters. It may not always be your series. But I do think Philly takes game two, and then that puts us in a situation of game five, pivotal game five. The winner of that usually wins 83-84% of the time. So we'll see. But I do got Philly taking this next one. It's crazy. I was watching the game yesterday, and my mom said, what happened to Joel Knowles? He's sitting there. And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, maybe, you know, I was like, you know, he was wearing a mask at some point earlier in the season, I think. And she was like, well, maybe that mask is set on his nose because it's pushed down a little bit. And then sure enough, after the game, they reported that Joel was suffering from Bell's palsy. For those of you that don't know what Bell's palsy is, in layman's term for a non-doctor, it's essentially facial paralysis. One side of the face usually drops. And, you know, muscles get weak and the face drop. And it's nothing you can really do. Yes, you can treat it, but to my knowledge, it kind of just comes and goes on its own. Can take up to 6 months. And so I'm just sending my love and support. You never want to see anybody dealing with anything from a health standpoint. So I send my love and support to Joel. I don't know if that gives you pain or not. I don't know any of those things. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a doctor, but I do send my love and prayers. You just never want to see anyone dealing with anything from a health perspective. And so wishing him well, and then also respect for seeing him go out there. And, I respect him saying, like, he didn't want to announce it because he didn't want to be more of a distraction. But I'm assuming they announced it because someone probably saw the same thing my mom saw and started asking questions. But definitely sending my love and respect there. The Orlando Magic went home and took care of the Cleveland Cavaliers by 30. I think that can possibly be a game that all the home games is won, a series where all the home games will be won. Pacers went into the Bucks. Took care of business. Now 1-1 going back home. Hallie talking this ish. We had home games louder than what we just faced. So I'm looking forward to the crowd. That would be fun. It was good to see Pacers bounce back. Pascal Siakam is being the champion that he is, showing those young guys the way. He's been great in both games. Headed back home, they're going to continue to need a great effort from Pascal. And that series, me personally, I still got the Bucks. I know I had said something about them being a 16-game team and an 82-game team, and I said the Pacers are an 82-game team. I still believe that. However, Pascal Siakam is the one guy that we know in 16 games can get it done, and he's doing that. And he's carrying that team right now. So they do have a guy that's an 82, that's a 16 guy. Overall, I think the team is still an 82-game team, and that's just that. Before we get out of here, let's talk about the Celtics. As I said before, everybody in Boston, the last thing they wanted to see after the season they had was Jimmy Butler in round one with the Miami Heat. Nobody wanted to see it. And so, game one. Boston hits a bunch of shots, hit a bunch of threes, win it pretty easily. Game two, Miami hit a bunch of threes. They take it. They take game two. Number one, I don't think Miami will continue to shoot the ball like that. However, when you are playing and there's no pressure because you don't have Jimmy Butler, so you're supposed to lose. And even if you have Jimmy, you're supposed to lose. But now there is no Jimmy, so you're really supposed to lose. Haywood Highsmith out there like, huh, I'm on the wing. Oh, you a little step off? I'm raising up on you like I'm Klay Thompson. Bang. Right? Like, and so what we're seeing right now is those guys playing with no pressure, still playing Miami Heat basketball, and they go out there and get game two. 1-1 series. If I'm the Boston Celtics, not that worried. They hit a bunch of threes. Great. Unfortunate they did it on my home floor, but we know we can go to Miami and win two games. However, you cannot. So mentally, you face Jimmy Butler, and you know the history coming into game one. However, you don't have to face Jimmy Butler. Whew, we could breathe a little bit. Then you lose to that team without Jimmy Butler. And although you still think you can beat that team, a little inkling of doubt creep in the back of your head because we know this team. And we know whoever they got on the floor, they're going to compete. And that's where it gets tough. Because now a little doubt starts to creep in. And you don't want much doubt to creep in because you never know what can happen in a series, right? Like somebody can sprain an ankle. Important person can sprain an ankle. And you start dropping games. So it's nothing to worry about now. But all of a sudden, a couple things don't go your way. And it can get tough. And we know the history here. And so Boston, we've seen Boston in some of these situations let go of the rope. So you know they it's possible. You know it's possible. And if there's one group team that believes it's possible, it's the Miami Heat. So no, it's not some extreme danger zone. No, I'm not about to act like the world's collapsing. All I'm saying is, keep a little eye over there. Just keep a little eye over there because Miami going back home 1-1, they feeling good and they gonna come out firing. And then guess what? They should. And if they hit 23 threes again, then you go down 2-1, you could start to panic a little bit. Panic plays a part in this, a big part. Teams panic all the time. So no, I don't think the Miami Heat is about to beat the Boston Celtics. I'm just saying, keep a little eye over there. That's it. Everybody in Boston went to sleep with a little clamp on their lungs last night or two nights ago. They went to sleep with a little clamp on their lungs because it's like, can I really breathe well knowing that it's 1-1 now against those guys? Quite frankly, I love to see Boston fans sweat. I love to see Boston fans sad. And shout out to my brother JT. I always want to see him win. But I love to see Boston fans lose. That's just me. Shout out to Jackson. It's always great when they lose. Although, like I said, I'm a little conflicted. So I always want best what's best for JT. So I'm a little conflicted. But forget them Boston fans. That's a wrap from this episode of the Draymond Green Show. Until next time, peace.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.